All right, guys, welcome back to RX Radio. We have a special episode this week.
A special sore episode. Fuck, I can't believe you talked me
into that. To our powerlifting audience, how does it sound to run a mile and a half right now?
Brutal.
In whatever shoes that you would typically deadlift in.
Yeah, it was Nike Inflict wrestling shoes.
Yeah, I've ran in wrestling shoes before. Brutal. It's not fun.
Yeah, dude, running alone isn't fun. Running in like on fucking clouds isn't fun.
I agree.
But there's a reason we're talking about this.
Yes. So this week we went down to Coast Range CrossFit, Gilroy, California, and we talked to the owner, Wes Pyatt.
Dude, so he's CrossFit athlete, CrossFit Games athlete.
CrossFit Games athlete.
Firefighter.
Firefighter.
Former U.S. military in the Air Force. And gym owner and father and
level one staff as well.
Yeah, how shitty do you feel about your measly accomplishments in life? Like, hey, you know all that stuff you do? Yeah, he does it way better.
Way better, dude. Yeah, Wes is a great guy. He's an awesome dude.
Really
great,
like this conversation.
Great coach. Takes a lot of pride in all the stuff that he does.
Well, dude, you can even tell, like, in the interview that you guys are about to listen, you'll notice, like, so we're right in the middle of Coast Range CrossFit. It was early one morning. And he'll say hello and goodbye to everyone that walks in his gym. So, like, we'll be talking to him and someone will walk in, he'll say hi, someone will leave, he'll say bye, like, right in the middle. So, he's not doing that for effect. That is him. Super nice guy. Really enjoyed this conversation. Hope you guys like it. So this is it. This is RX Radio, episode 26, interview with Wes Pyatt.
Yep. Enjoy, guys.
All right, guys. We're here with Wes Pyatt, Coast Range CrossFit today. How you doing, Wes?
Good, man. How you doing?
Fantastic.
Yeah, hanging out. We enjoyed the smell. Like, garlic is overwhelming.
Oh, you can smell it.
Yeah. You can smell it?
Not at all.
I think it's because you constantly are smelling it, right? Like, if you're in a stinky room for a long time, leave and come back out. If you leave the stinky room that is Gilroy, you realize, holy shit, this place smells like garlic.
Yeah, no, when we first moved in here, I remember, like, at night, there's a pizza shop right on the corner over here, and it would pump out dough. Like, you could smell, like, bagels, basically, is what it would smell like all the time, and then you would get the garlic from up the field, and you would just, like, constantly 24-7 wanting pizza. Like, that's all you wanted all the time.
Well, I mean, that smell's still there. That's what this whole...
Oh,
are you from here?
No, not originally. Home. My wife is from here. San Luis Obispo.
Oh, okay. Way cooler. So, this is funny. I compromise with my wife the same way. It's like, so I'm from Canada. She's from Australia. And so I want to...
So you end up at San Jose?
Well, we came out here for school. But when we got married, it's like, obviously, I wanted to get married in Canada. She wanted to get married in Australia. So we compromised. We just got married in Australia. Like, that was the compromise. Like, hey, we're going to do the thing I want to do and your thing is stupid. Like,
sounds good, sweetie.
Yeah, but the marriage thing, that's their thing. That's not our thing. That's what they get, right?
They dress up in little dresses and time they're this big until...
Yeah, she's not like that, though.
Listen,
she's like... Sometimes I forget she's a real girl.
Oh,
it's fine. She doesn't listen to this. She hears my voice enough at home. But it's like, I mean, she's like an athlete. She's, she's like track and field. She went to the Olympics. Like, she's, so it's like I forget that sometimes that when she guys put the dress on, I was like, oh, okay, yeah, I get that. It's like, this is kind of your shtick. You get started?
Yeah, let's do it. So, Wes, you mind bragging about yourself a little bit to us? Tell us some of your accomplishments.
No. Yeah, because you're a hungry CrossFit Games athlete, right?
Was.
What year?
Oh, no, dude, you're like presidents, man. You're like presidents. You're
never,
like,
it just happened. You're never
a good. Well, no, it's like you're never a former president. You are a president forever sort of thing.
Yeah, no, I snuck in 2013 and then never made it back after that.
Yeah, and after watching.
Dedicated my life to it for the next like 7 years. And but yeah, it was 2013, made it to the games. And then regionals every year after that, except for one. I had surgery on my shoulder, so I missed 2016. Yeah, regionals.
What was the surgery?
Labrum and supraspinatus.
Okay.
So two anchors in labrum. And then nothing too bad on the supraspinatus. It was actually just kind of scrape up the scap and get to sit again. But it was great, man. Especially from a coaching standpoint. To be honest with you, I think it was one of the best things that could have ever happened to me. I got to take a year off from competing, which was good for the soul, I think. And then now I have a brand new perspective on people with shoulder things, right? Yeah. I can come at them at a different angle now where it's not just me saying they should do this stuff, but me exactly being like, no, dude, like, listen to your PT. Listen to the people, what they're telling you to do. Don't do these movements, do these and stuff.
So, then do you find, like, that's brought you more buy-in than, like, your level of athleticism has. Like, you, the empathy that you can now have for someone with that injury, do you feel like that gives you a better buy-in with people when talking about injuries rather than just being a good athlete? Like,
oh, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, well, you came from, you took a year off, shoulder surgery, and you came back this past year. What did you finish, ninth of regionals?
Eighth.
Wait, you competed against this guy?
Oh, absolutely.
No way, really?
I chased him down for a couple months beforehand. So they take, I don't know how much you know, but they take the top five to the CrossFit Games. He came back after a shoulder surgery, finished eighth in the region. Just outside that 12-month spot. So that's, it's not like he just came back from the injury. He came back and had a pretty dominant
performance. What was that rehab like?
I don't know. It wasn't anything special. Just your normal, like, go to the PT, work on, what's the blade? You know, the body blade or whatever. Yeah, we did a ton
just
of
like
that
the original
stuff.
Shake weight.
Yeah.
Literally, like, you're fucking with me, right? Like, I don't literally have to do
that. Dude, that thing is brutal. Grizz, pull here. Yeah, towards the face. There you go. And then back up. Sorry.
No. You can't turn that off, man. I get that. Totally. How long were you on the shelf for before you're back and moving?
You know, I don't know exact timeline for you. I could probably look it up.
Yeah.
But I want to say 4 months after the surgery. Don't quote me on this, but I want to say 4 months I did my first, like, barbell snatch.
Okay.
And then, like, nothing heavy overhead, though, for probably, like, 6 months.
So was it strategic? Like, did you come off competition and say, okay, now we're going to go in for the surgery and maximize the
season? No. It was right in the middle of the open last year. Shit. So I was training for regionals.
Yeah.
Actually, like, last year, December, I did a competition down in San Diego and missed. It was supposed to be an overhead squat, but I went to snatch the first rep. And I missed the bar behind me, and I felt my shoulder kind of pop, and I was like, oh, that was weird, whatever, no big deal. And then just had that aching, weird kind of like shoulder problem for that whole year. And I was just like, whatever, it's just bothering me, it'll be fine. And I was doing some muscle ups, and I fell through the rings, which I've done before, not a big issue. You just let go, and it's all good. But I held on just a little bit too long, and like it felt like my arm was on fire. Like everything from my fingertips, all the way up my neck, it was right in the middle. There was a class going on, and I'm doing muscle ups over here, and I fell off the rings right in front of the whole class, and I'm on the ground like, ah! Like,
who's that guy? Yeah. He owns the place.
Yeah, and all I can think about is there's probably some brand new member in the back. Yeah. Like, oh shit, why did I sign up for this? Yeah.
No, so that brings up a good point. You're a box owner, you're on the level one staff, and you're an athlete. How do you, and so you, and you've injured yourself doing CrossFit. How do you approach that when, because that's a stigma that CrossFit's carried with it for a while. I hang around this guy, so I know the ins and outs of it now, but like to the uninitiated, it can seem a little, I don't want to say dangerous, but how do you come at that from like a coach's perspective, an athlete's perspective, a gym owner's perspective, and a level one perspective? Like how does that sort of enter into your conscious thought when you go through and wear these different hats like in CrossFit?
Yeah, well, I think it's easy because we can take any movement that we can do inside this gym and relate it somehow to their life, right? You're a power lifter.
Yeah.
You think everybody should power lift probably, right?
Yeah, more or less to a certain extent they should be able to move in those three movements for sure.
Yeah, right? Like, I mean, not, you know, trying to compete or anything like that, but do you feel like powerlifting would help people's lives?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, same thing across CrossFit. It's infinitely scalable the same way powerlifting is, right? I like that. Everybody can box squat.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Maybe it's just with their body weight, though. Yeah. You know, but maybe it's with 600, 700, 800 pounds. Like, whatever it is, it's infinitely scalable. And I think it's getting people to understand that it's not about what they see on TV or what they see, like, even at a powerlifting meet. You know what I mean? It's like, no, it's just moving your body through range of motion and making sure that we're staying as functional as we can for the rest of our lives. Yeah. That's all it is. And that's what CrossFit does. But I think the cool thing about, like, powerlifting or CrossFit is that now you have a community of people behind it.
Yeah.
It's not a normal gym, which we're actually attached to.
Yeah, we saw
right?
that.
Yeah.
He literally explained, like, the Globo Gym Average Joe split in this class.
Yeah.
I was like, huh. I saw it. I was like, ooh,
you can definitely tell who's going
to win. You can tell by, like, the cars, like in the front compared to the cars in the back. It's like, oh, okay, all right, I got it.
Yeah, just so people here to work, just so people know who are listening to this. You guys don't like do a video thing of this, right?
Not yet, no.
Where our gym is connected to a standard 24-hour fitness type Globo gym. Yeah. We rent out the back 6,000 square feet of it.
Yeah.
When you're in here, you'd have no idea we're attached to it. But when you walk outside, it's like this huge building.
I was wondering where the towel service was in here.
Yeah, right?
Room, get a little eucalyptus going.
You guys actually put up this wall here, right?
Yeah, there used to be a fence like right here where people would walk through from the normal gym to come back here. And back here used to be where they would do personal training, jiu-jitsu, kickboxing. There used to be a huge MMA cage right here. Everything else was all Dollimer matting with like all along the walls with punching bags and those types of things. And so all the personal trainers would come back here to do their personal training with clients and stuff, or they would have kickboxing classes. There was like back in the day, there was a really good MMA team that would work out of here.
Yeah.
I don't remember the guy's name, but I know he moved and opened up his own place eventually. But yeah, that's what they would do. And we first took it over. Why the flooring's all jacked up is because we've had to piece it together. We had this little L shape over here. And so we put up a chain link fence actually from that wall, like this, down this way, and then towards the wall over here. And we had that L shape. And then we kind of kicked it out, got half of it.
That was your rented space.
Was
that
it was like just over or just under 2,000 square feet when we first rented out. And it was horrible because when you were in this area over here, because of the way the fence was set up, you couldn't see people over here.
Oh,
and so you were running back and forth and stuff. And
hey,
like,
you just spot
it. Yeah, exactly. So it was like a nightmare. But yeah, originally we kept the fence open thinking that, oh, we'll get people.
Yeah.
You know, they'll see what we're doing.
Yeah.
They'll want to do it. They'll come over, and that didn't happen at all.
I don't
know.
That's almost like, all right, we're gonna set up like a bear terrarium, and we're gonna be like, oh yeah, no, come on to the other side. Come on,
yeah,
to the bear terrarium.
Right.
Yeah, it's fine. I know it looks real scary.
People are like, what the hell?
Yeah, they start like veering further and further away from the fence. Like, oh, I don't want to be near that. That's
weird.
How many takeovers did you go from L-shaped fence to what we're looking at today, or was it like piece by piece sort of creep your way in?
Yeah, it was piece by piece. So we went from that L shape, and then we got half of it, which was 3,000 square feet, and then finally we took over the other half.
Yeah.
The owner here was looking, he came to us, he's like, okay, hey, you got half of it. He's like, I need to rent out this other half, so if you want it, you can have it, but you know, this is what it's going to be. And it was way over our head as far as what we could actually do, like rent-wise and stuff like that. So he was really cool. He worked with us in the beginning to start our rent a lot lower, and then kind of he raised it over time as the years went on, which has been really nice.
So what was the time span between when did Close Range CrossFit open, and when was renovation one, renovation two?
So we opened in July of 2013, so right before I went to the games in 2013.
Okay.
And then I would say it was probably 6 months. Bye, Javier. Later, Lauren.
Yeah.
It was probably 6 months that we went half,
okay.
And then it was like 2 months after that, I think, that we took over the whole thing. So it was pretty fucking quick.
Yeah.
And well,
that was
definitely
probably,
way over
probably a pretty big boost you going to the games as far as getting your name out there, CrossFit.
You know what? I think it really helped originally, like when I was first coming into Gilroy. I think the people that knew about CrossFit, so actually in the gym next to us, they have a racquetball court in there with like CrossFit stuff. Like there's a rower in there, there's a pull-up rig, there's wall balls, there's a barbell. And that's like, there was this kind of core group of people that actually back here about 2010-ish, Charlie Chang, he would run CrossFit classes back here. It was the original, like before anybody was doing it, right?
Yeah, that's like,
they were doing it back here. And they literally had like two stall mats and like two pull-up bars on the walls, and they would like throw down. And that eventually kind of faded away, but that group of people that were doing it stayed here, and they just worked out in that little room.
Yeah.
And so there was this small group of like, I would say probably like 10 to maybe 12 people that were doing CrossFit when I came into Gilroy. And so I think that helped those people. They were like, oh, there's a CrossFit Games after coming here, and they were stoked.
Yeah.
But nobody else,
I mean,
cared or knew or had any idea. You know what I mean? Like, I think they kind of spread the word, though. Like, they were kind of like, hey, this guy's legit. Like, he's coming to town. They would tell their friends and stuff. And I remember when we first moved in, or we first got here, I was like, dude, nobody in Gilroy's going to do CrossFit. Like, what are we doing? Like, we need to move to a metropolitan area with more people and stuff. And they're like, we're just going to hold a workout in the park. Like, we'll put out the word, we'll do a workout in the park, we'll see how many people show up. If people show up, okay, we'll move forward with this thing. But if nobody shows up, we're scrapping it. Like, we're not going to do it. And we have to have a picture over there of There was like half the people we got to do the picture because we forgot to do a picture, but it took off. But there was like probably like 40 or 50 people there that showed up.
That's a great job. Put a roof over that.
It was awesome. And I remember being like, we didn't have enough kettlebells. We didn't have enough equipment that we brought to the park. Yeah. We weren't expecting that many people. We had to like scrap our idea for the workout and make a whole new one with all these people there.
Pull the tires off the car. We're going to lay in this space.
Yeah. And it worked out great. And then we're like, all right, I guess people are interested. Let's do it. And yeah, it grew like crazy. I think we definitely went from like the 3,000 to the 6,000 way before we needed it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But I think it helped us grow from there, right?
I mean, I come to this place and I see the gym culture you guys have going on here.
It's awesome, huh?
It's so awesome.
Yeah.
I see you posting all the time, like, I need hard workers. Like, I love hard workers. And I mean, you've developed that in the culture here. Can you tell us a little bit about how you kind of try and ingrain that into the gym?
I don't think I do.
Yeah.
I think our members do.
So like, do you think it's one of those like lead by example?
It's too humble to answer that. You know that, right?
No, I wouldn't say that. Like, I think, like, yeah, great. Like, I went to the Gossip Games. I work hard. I enjoy this stuff.
Yeah.
And people want to follow along with that and they like, they want to emulate that and do it too as well. Like, great. That's awesome. I don't think that's why our gym culture has become what it is. Our gym culture has become what it is because of the original members that we had that signed up here. It's become them. They're just hard workers. You know what I mean?
So it's not like a conscious effort. Like I feel like, especially being so close to like the Silicon Valley, the word culture and business is like, they're inseparable now. Like, you know, Apple has like a culture when you work there. Google has like a culture, but it's like, it's almost like force.
Would you say,
I mean, that's not something that crosses your mind ever. You just sort of come to work, do your thing. Everyone does their thing. And the culture is sort of a byproduct of whatever goes on.
Yeah, no, now that you say it, like, I mean, we definitely have, like, we sat down over this last year and really, like, I mean, up until this point, it's been, like, keep the place open.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like,
we're paying bills.
Yeah, we're good. Like, holy crap. And then we brought on a coach. We're like, wow, we can actually pay our coaches, not just give them free memberships. You know what I mean? And, like, all of the money has gone, like, back into making this thing better, back into our coaches. Just trying to make everything we can to make like the members' experience as better as good as possible, not collecting any money on our own side.
Yeah.
And this last year, we finally got to the point where we're like, oh, okay, actually, you know what? Maybe we can start, you know, like paying our coaches better and collecting a little bit of money off of this thing. Okay, well, now we need to sit down and go, okay, what is our actual goal with this gym?
Yeah.
Because up until now, it's just been like, just keep things open, right?
Yeah.
And so we actually sat down and came up with like our core values. Yeah. What do we want our core values to be?
Yeah.
And we looked at it and just based it off of, okay, well, what is the gym doing now? Like you said, like, what is the culture of the gym now? Are we happy with that? Is that what we want it to be? Or are there some things that we need to change? You know what I mean? And we're like, looked at it, we're like, pretty happy with
pretty
it,
good.
Right?
Yeah. It was more reflective than preemptive. Though.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And so it turned it, like, our core values that we came out with were just what the gym is as of now. And it's something that we need, we actually haven't put it out there yet to our members and even expressed it yet.
Yeah.
But it's going to be something that we put out pretty soon to them. And so that all the new members coming in, because the place is gaining interest, we are getting new members, and we want to make sure that we don't just get a shitload of new members and have the culture, like you talked about, get turned sideways.
Sure.
Or maybe even create like two or three different cultures within the gym and start seeing clicks happen and start seeing, like, you know what I mean?
You want new members to be Coast Range members.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
we want it to be, like, we always laugh that there's this natural filter that kind of happens here, you know what I mean? Where we get people who come in all of a sudden they like they realize that like we don't accept half ass.
Yeah.
And then like if you're like, oh dang, the wife showing up.
Don't let this one go.
Wow.
Oh, geez.
Oh my gosh. Jordan, this is my wife Megan. Jordan.
Hi.
Jordan
Hi.
Megan.
Hi.
Yeah. Hi. That was it?
Yeah.
Thanks, man. Oh my gosh. Well, we had two really big things happen yesterday. Joey slept in her room for the first time last night, which was a big deal.
My daughter, contextually, I picked that up. Thank you.
And then we didn't have enough beans for the coffee this morning, and so we poured coffee, and it was like hot water with like coffee flavor in it, which is like super depressing for both of us.
Absolutely.
We live on coffee, and so she knows someone
that must be.
Bring it over.
I'm sitting there just like licking his lips, talking about the coffee water he drank this morning. When did this become on your radar? Like, you're in high school, you're in your guidance counselor's office, you say, when I grow up, I will know. So, like, bring me from, like, when did this become, like, not only like, you know, hey, let's do this in a park, but like, this is how I want to make money and feed my children.
No, yeah, when I was in high school, I wanted to play drums in a punk band and travel the world.
Big, yeah. So who were the main influences, total aside?
As far as?
Music.
Oh, music.
Yeah.
Oh, man, growing up, Norma Jean, Every Time I Die. I was like hardcore stuff. I also liked, like NoFX.
Okay, sure.
Null Colony. Pennywise, of course.
Yeah. How many Warped Tours have you been to?
Oh my God, yeah, almost everywhere. Oh man, we went. Actually, we got there was like four of us in the gym that went. Not last year, but the year before.
Oh Jesus. How old did you feel? How old did you feel?
You know what's actually kind of cool is I thought I would feel super old.
This is all old dudes like.
I just got really wasted, and so I didn't feel old at all. But then I saw also it was cool. There was a ton of people there my age.
Sure.
Yeah. Walking around with their kids.
Is Pennywise still doing it though?
Yeah. They're not there though. They weren't there when I was there.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, I remember I went to one and you talked about like Bay Area punk with Transplants, Rancid, stuff
yeah,
like that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I saw them.
Rancid, Green Day was my first tape I ever got, and then Rancid was my first CD I ever got. Yeah. Out with the Wolf.
Okay, yeah. Yeah. Awesome. That's. I think that dates us a little bit now, which is weird. Which is weird because I feel like it was like just yesterday. Anyways, back to like the business. Like, when did like Coast Range be like, this is how I want to make
money?
Yeah,
so I definitely not in high school. I actually hated. I didn't work out in high school and stuff. I played football and baseball growing up. Yeah. I surfed, I rock climbed, I snowboarded. I did anything that didn't involve a gym is what I tried to do. I was forced into it with baseball and football, right? Like you have to do weight training in football, you have to do weight training in baseball. But I would even find ways to get out of it.
Yeah.
And so I would go, our head football coach is also our math teacher as well. And so I had him as my math teacher. And then also we had a pretty good relationship. And I would go up to him during weight training and I'd be like, hey coach, can I go watch film? I want to check out this offense that they're doing to make sure I know blah, 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 whatever. And he'd be like, yeah, cool, go ahead and watch film. And you'd be stoked, actually, I think, that an athlete wanted to go study film. Yeah. You know what I mean? And that's how I get out of weight training. Because I was a skinnier kid. I didn't like lifting weights. Most of the kids could lift way more than I could. And it was kind of embarrassing, to be honest with you. Like, try to bench press, and you're putting, like, 10s on the ends of the bar, and everybody else is doing, like, 225. You know what I mean?
Join CrossFit, you'll never have to bench again.
Yeah, we bench. You saw these girls over here to dumbbell bench press.
Yeah, you know, yeah. I like this place.
But yeah, I would do everything I could. And then even when, so I got out of high school, I went down to San Diego for a year just to kind of like, I tried walking on San Diego State football and that didn't work out. I realized I'm not as good of an athlete as I thought I was. And then, I just hung out down there for a year, basically signed a lease and just partied, hung out, like, you know, had no idea what I was going to do with my life. And I was like, I'll just take this year to kind of figure it out. I worked at Pita Pit right next to the college.
Dude, that's
awesome.
No, actually, though, San Diego's
where it's at. That's what every college kid wants to do.
Right?
Yeah, it was great. Like, seriously, I would ride my skateboard to work. I'd, like, work at Pita Pit. I would drink at night, and then I would do it again. And I did that for, like, a year, right?
That sounds like heaven. San Diego is.
I might do that next year.
You'll find myself for a year. Yeah. Work at Pita Pit.
Dude, it was the best, man.
It was the best. You got a free pita every day.
I work for food right now, so I don't really see how it's much of a difference. Yeah. I can't pay
mostly
you.
Baked goods.
Yeah, I can't pay you, but my wife made these, and I have this old protein powder in the back of my car. Yeah, sounds good.
There you go. Yeah, and so, but at the same time while I was down there, one of my best friends was going through Buds for the SEALs.
Shit.
And he would come over on the weekends, so they get the weekends off in Buds.
Yeah.
He would come over on the weekends with all of his buddies in his boat crew.
Pendleton Meatheads.
It was awesome. And they would just party so fucking hard at my house every weekend. And it started out with just a few of them, and then like word got out, and all of a sudden, like on the weekends, I would have like 10 dudes over at my house with his boat crew. Just raging.
How safe did you feel? Like on a day?
Oh yeah.
You know, you just had like this
funny,
Saturday
except every party we'd have, they would end up fighting each other in my front
yard.
Yeah.
It's like Mondays just gonna fucking re-drywall the whole place.
Yeah,
goddamn.
Or like somebody would throw somebody through a coffee table just because their testosterone was through the roof.
Insane,
you know what I mean? But I was had a lot of really drunken talks with those guys like late at night, you know, and stuff, and decided like, all right, you know, I didn't know what I wanted to do, so I was gonna join the military. Because I wanted to do something that, like, had that type of bond. You know what I mean? Like, I hadn't felt that since, like, football or anything like that.
Yeah.
So joined the military. I didn't want to be a Navy SEAL or anything like that, so I joined the Air Force. I went totally opposite direction. And,
yeah.
Joined the Air Force.
Tom Cruise. Tell me Top Gun was an influence on that.
No, I wish it was.
I have a friend of mine who's...
I don't know. He looks pretty good with a mustache.
You know, like Theraband, Biofreeze, all that?
Yeah.
It's all owned by this one company. The VP, I think he's like the VP of sales. This guy, John Miller, is a friend of mine. He told me. So he was a fighter pilot.
Oh, okay.
And so he went the full Top Gun. And when you get your wings, no, I swear to God, when you get your wings, and he could have been fucking with me, but they give you 4 pairs of gold Ray-Ban sunglasses.
Oh, that's awesome.
Like when you're like, yeah, no, I swear to God, you get like, again, you could totally be fucking with me, but he's like, they give you like your flight jacket or whatever.
Yeah.
They give you your, yeah, no, legit. And then like, they give you that. And then they give you your 4 aviators, your 4 pairs of like
awesome.
Military issue. Like they make these specifically for the Air Force. Again, totally could have been fucking with me, but I bought it hook, line, and sinker.
I hope it's true.
Yeah, and he's like, you know, I drove like the Indian motorcycle. I lived out in the desert. I was like mad and goosing it. I was like, fuck, that's unreal.
That's awesome.
How long did you surf for?
I grew up surfing. Surf. Oh, surf.
Yeah.
I mean, surfing. See,
yeah.
I'm a total direction. I'm
yeah.
like, okay, let's go surf. No, 4 years.
You deploy?
Twice, yep.
Where to?
First one was Kyrgyzstan, so it's like up by kind of Russia. And the second one was Kuwait.
Now, this might be less of an imagery in CrossFit, and it's something that bothers me coming from like a powerlifting bodybuilding background is like, the imagery that people use, like, oh, we're going to war. It's like, no, you're going to lift weights in a climate-controlled building. Like,
okay.
You're not going to war.
Hey, we don't have air conditioning.
Okay. Oh, yeah, but how was it? Where, Kyrgyzstan, where were you at? Like,
oh, yeah.
how do you deal with that kind of imagery? Like, walking through, like, the tunnel at the games
mm-hmm.
and then, you know, coming out of the chopper or whatever you guys were doing. Can you even compare the two? Like, when you hear that, do you just glass over and be like, you have no idea?
I definitely use some of that, like
yeah.
in workouts, you know what I mean, to make myself realize this isn't that bad. And
okay,
stop being
sure.
A pussy
yeah.
And to like keep pushing
yeah,
harder.
Yeah, like, hey, remember
you know
that one time we were
yeah,
held
like,
up in some.
It's not that bad, but actually, in the opposite. So I started doing CrossFit on my last deployment in Kuwait. That's when I found it.
Yeah.
When I was over there, there were some guys that were doing it when we showed up. When I started doing it there, and I would actually use it like when we would be working, and it would be fucking like 200 degrees outside, and we'd be dying, and we had to get shit going, and you know what I mean, like. I'd be like, you know what, this actually isn't as bad as that workout I just did before. Like, it's fine. You can keep pushing. You're going to be fine. You know? And so it would transfer over both ways, back and forth, for
no
sure.
Shit.
Yeah.
That's when you don't work out as hard. That's
yeah.
insane.
Well, I mean.
When that prepares you.
I think at the time, though, too, I hadn't done anything like that workout-wise. Like, it
yeah.
had been, like, if I was going to work out, it was like, all right, well, I'll do some bench press and, you know. Like, I thought it was hardcore because I have a back squat and nobody else a back squat. You know what I mean?
Leg
like,
day.
Like, you go into a normal gym and you
yeah.
actually had a bar on your back and
yeah.
you're doing like full back squats.
Shit.
Like, people are like, oh, damn, you know? And so I hadn't experienced anything like that workout wise where you're actually pushing yourself to the limit. So
yeah.
it was easy at the beginning to relate that. But now it's more the opposite where
yeah.
I relate like those experiences back into CrossFit. Like, actually, I just had a conversation with one of the level one staff members the other day. We did a workout at lunch. It was a hero workout, white. It's a 400 meter run, 3 rope climbs, or no, what is it? No, it starts with 3 rope climbs, 10 toes to the bar, 21 overhead lunges, and then 400 meter run, and 5 rounds of that. And on the last run, I kind of like just naturally get into this like cadence with my run where I go like ha, 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 ha. And it's like totally hypoxic, like not what you should be doing when
yeah.
you're running, but I relate it back to like boot camp and marching
oh,
and like
sure.
trying to
yeah.
like, or like when we would do rough runs and stuff like that
yeah.
and you had to like stay in step with people like dun, 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 and you would like do cadences with people and stuff, and that kind of helps me keep pushing. And so
yeah.
I do that every time I run now. I'll go, and I'll recite things that we used to like say when we would rock and stuff like that
yeah.
in my head.
That's
just
what
to get
like
myself
putting my socks on in the morning.
Yeah. But yeah, so yeah, it definitely transfers over a little bit.
That's
cool. Sure. Yeah.
I never even thought of that going the other way.
So how long of a time gap was it between starting CrossFit on the deployment and 2013 when you actually qualified for the CrossFit Games?
3 years.
So it took you 3 years of
consistently training for the CrossFit Games? Was that your mindset going in, or was it just like, this stuff's fucking awesome, I'm gonna keep doing it?
Yeah, I found out a way to work out without it being working out.
Yeah.
Without it being like, like put my headphones in, go in the gym, take a bunch of notes, but try to get excited about doing the same thing every day.
Yeah.
I found a different way to train, and I loved it.
Just describe my life. Literally, like, down to the nose, blow, we're good. Yeah, that was like,
Well, that kind of leads me into the next question that I want to ask you is, you're on the level one staff, right? Which is, that's pretty awesome. You're the person, for those of us that don't know, some of our listeners are powerlifters.
Yeah, talk slow.
But
we have a actually one of our members, Christina Bennett, she's doing strongman stuff right now.
Oh, nice. Strong Huggers, Santa Cruz Strength. I did my first meet at Santa Cruz Strength. Last year I did my first meet there. It's cool.
That's Clay. Her strongman coach.
Yeah, Clay.
Yeah.
Clay used to run a strongman program out of Boss.
Okay.
So Clay, pick up your fucking Atlas stone. There's still like Atlas stones in our parking lot. They're like,
don't pick them up.
Dude, if you want to come out to Mountain View, they've just been sitting, taking up parking spaces. There's like three spots you can't park in
because
there's these fucking stones that just sit there. I can arrange that.
Okay.
We'll talk off camera. But,
awesome. Sorry.
Yeah, so if you're on like the ground floor.
Level one staff. Yeah. So how did you get in the door with a level one? And like, what's the experience like?
When I was originally started doing CrossFit, it was at CrossFit Inferno down in San Luis Obispo with Bill Brumler. And when I was working there, we had a couple of our trainers, Dustin Virgil, who just happened to be down in San Diego during one of the CrossFit Level 1 staff retreats. And he was down there, he heard about it, and he just showed up at the party. So there's an after party that every year we have the level one retreat where all the staff members from all over the world get together and we do like training. We get together, we discuss topics, we do breakout groups, like that kind of stuff. It's just a way for us to develop our skills and for everybody to get together that hasn't seen each other in a long time. Well, Dustin found out that was happening down there. He wasn't on the level one staff. And every year after the summit, there's a big party. Like everybody just hangs out in the hotel and just drinks and has a good time. And he showed up for that. Not being on the level one staff or anything like that, and basically just got his foot in the door by being like, hey, I want to be on the level one staff. And they introduced him to Dave and Nicole, and they were like, awesome, I'll set you up in an internship. I didn't even know that was a possibility, right? I thought he had to be like some sort of like secret squirrel inside person of CrossFit in order to get on there.
Yeah.
And so I started asking Dustin about, you know, like, well, what are the steps you need to take and stuff? And he started asking around, you know, okay, well, what does my friend Wes need to do in order to get on? And they were like, well, he's got to go get his level two. And then he's just got to apply and do an internship.
Yeah.
So I went, got my level two. I talked with Miranda Oldroyd and Russell Berger, and I said, hey, I want to be on the level one staff. What do I need to do? Russell told me to keep training. And Miranda pulled me aside and was like, hey, I think you should apply. Here's the email address. Go ahead and send us a resume. I sent him a resume that day. And then the following week, they sent me an email back saying, hey, we'd like to have you intern. I did a 3-month-long internship with them where basically it was only 4 different actual seminars, but it took me 3 months to get them all done because you have to like travel on your own in order to go do them. So you had to pay your way. If you find one, you go do it. And you pay to stay in the hotel. You pay to eat your own food, and you're there as an intern, right? And then I did that internship, and Dave Lipson actually was the Flowmaster who hired me on.
Cool.
Yeah, I still remember that moment. It was my last internship, and it was either like, you're on staff, or no, you're not, see you later. You know what I mean? And I remember sitting there just sweating profusely. And Dave looks at me and goes like, okay, well, you're sweating a lot, so I'm just going to go ahead and tell you right out of the bag that you're on staff, so you stop sweating because you're making me nervous.
You're making us uncomfortable.
Yeah, totally. I was just like, oh, God, yeah.
How many people are
awesome?
There's over 200.
Okay.
That's worldwide. Right?
Worldwide, yeah.
So, wow, that's pretty crazy. I know. I mean, you taught my level one. I don't know if you
that's
remember
awesome.
That.
Yeah,
but,
yeah.
A couple years ago.
Yeah, I remember that.
So with the obligations with that, like, is that, like, what's it maybe day to day or month to month? Like, is that just once a year you guys get together, or are you guys constantly think tanking ways to, like, change the certification, or, like, is your responsibility more, like, feedback into the system? Like, what is your involvement look like now with that program?
With actually like the level one, like
yeah.
Change stuff.
Yeah.
So most of the ways that the level one has changed has come from direct feedback from the participants themselves.
Yeah.
And so if the Dave and Nicole and, you know, the higher ups see consistent feedback on one area, they really look into it and they'll change it if it needs to be changed. And the course is really, we get a lot of people who are re-upping their certs now who are coming back after 5 years and retaking it, because that's what you need to do if you don't take a level two, and just being blown away at number one, how much better it is, how much easier the material is given, and but how much it's changed over time and become better. And it's a constantly evolving thing. We do have a little bit of input on that for sure. Like if we think something, you know, should be changed, we can definitely voice that to Dave and Nicole. But I would say the majority of the changes come from the level one participants themselves.
Yeah.
As far as our skills go, we have like mentor groups within the level one staff. So there'll be like 5 to 7 or 6 people that are assigned to a head trainer or a flow master.
Yeah.
And so for the last like year, mine has been Adrian Bosman. He's just up in Oakland, and we get together once a week on like a Google chat, FaceTime type of thing. And hey, how's everybody doing? Here's what's coming up. Anybody got any level ones that they've done recently? Any feedback, like things that you saw that we hadn't seen before? And we just chat about it like that. Yeah. Really so that's cool. Constantly developing our skills, which helps a lot too. And then obviously that level one summit that we do every year is where like the real meat and potatoes come in, where we get like a lot of the training.
Can I ask you, so what do you do personally to develop your coaching? You're probably one of the most effective coaches that I've seen in person in the sport.
Thank you.
Yeah, no problem.
No pressure.
You're awesome at what you do, and I want to know what is it that you do on your own to improve your coaching?
The first thing is every single night since the moment I started doing CrossFit in 2009, I go on the CrossFit Journal.
Okay.
And every night, it's like a ritual of mine where I pull up the CrossFit Journal, and I just, if there's a new article on there or a new video or a new whatever, I just watch it and read it.
Yeah. Now, to the uninitiated, like my, what is this CrossFit Journal?
Oh, man, it's like imagine the biggest library that you could ever go in with powerlifting. Where
okay, so it's your lead FTS, maybe?
Okay, all right, perfect.
Yeah, it's a forum through CrossFit where they post educational materials on anything from nutrition to, you know, specific cueing, stuff like that.
Okay, I got you.
Or even just badass videos of like, cool CrossFitters working out.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah,
like, it could be any of that kind of stuff. Yeah. But yeah, it's just, it's a conglomerate of the best in the business coming together to give information, you know, and education.
Yeah. So that's the secret.
I mean, it was like one of my biggest things that helped me out in the beginning, for sure, and still does. Like, I still go on there and go back and read What Is Fitness. You know what I mean?
But the words.
Because, like, there'll be times where I'll, like, start to get into my head. Like, you do this day in and day out, and you coach and stuff, and you're like, man, you know, maybe we shouldn't have people doing such complex movements, or maybe we should make it a little bit easier on them, or maybe we should blah, blah. And you go back and read What Is Fitness by Greg Glassman. You know, and he goes, like, grandma needs to snatch.
Yeah,
she doesn't need to put a barbell over her head, but she needs to move through that range of motion and be able to take a PVC pipe from here and bring it up overhead by using her legs, allowing the arms to follow a second. You know what I mean? She needs to ring row like everybody else does and stuff, because, like, if she wants that functional living, she needs to be able to do these things. She needs to be able to sit on a bench and stand back up. And all of a sudden you go, like, yeah, shit, you're right.
Yeah.
Damn, okay, good thing I went back through and read this stuff, you know what I mean? Because it just keeps me rooted to what is CrossFit. It keeps me rooted to why I started doing this stuff in the first place. And, you know, sometimes it pulls me back in when I start getting too nerdy with this stuff, you know what I mean? I'm like, oh, your knee is valgus, and, like, we need to make sure that you have external rotation of your butt. And I was like, no, just fucking push your knees out.
Yeah.
You know, or like the simple cue is usually the one that works. And so, like, getting myself to sit back a little bit more.
I feel like my voice changes to what you just did. When I talk, I go to my office, I'll talk like this, and then I'll be like, well, you see here.
One of his eyes is looking at you. And the other
one's like off in the corner, too. It's like total Rain Man.
Well, I think it's natural, though. Like, when you do, like, you invest yourself into doing a lot of education, right?
Yeah.
Self education. Like, you want to say those things and show people that you know stuff, right? And you'll find yourself, like, trying to show people that you know stuff rather than trying to fix
the person. Stuff.
Make it, you know, easier on them. And so it's just, the CrossFit Journal, I think, is one of the biggest things that I would contribute to my success as a coach.
Yeah, that's a great tip.
Yeah.
Definitely for me, and I'm sure for anyone listening.
Yeah, and if you think $5 is too much to pay for that amount of education and information, like, you probably shouldn't
be a coach.
Is
that what it is, like, a year?
Yeah, it used to be, like, it was originally, like, $5 a year.
Yeah.
And then they made it all free for a while, which is really fucking amazing, right?
Yeah.
And then they went back and they're like, okay, we're going to make $5 a year, like, whatever, you know,
yeah,
no big deal. And everybody's freaking out about it. And I'm like, I'm sorry, but if you can't pay $5 a year, I'm like, you know, I think I'm actually, I might lie, it might be $5 a month. Don't quote me on that. But even $5 a month, and then you want to be a coach and that much education and that's there for you, like,
yeah,
it's pretty amazing. You know, I don't know any other place that you could go to get that much education at that type of a price. You know, so.
And that's like them spoon feeding it to you. That's coming from the top, right? Like, this is what we want you guys to know.
Totally, 100%.
Yeah, that's fantastic. That's a great thing.
And you said you referred back to that, and it reminds you of why you started. What's, I mean, this is a Jordan patented question.
Oh,
but like why the, yeah, why? Like, what, I mean, I can imagine, like, I'm watching this kid prep for regionals, like, I would ask, why? Like, what are you doing? Stop moving. Like, I just wanted to, like, chain him to the floor. And just, like, dude, take a nap, and I'll come back in 3 days. I'll have food delivered. Like, DoorDash will keep you alive, but just take a rest. So how is the why change from when you started to, like, prepping for the games to now that you've, like, you know, retired, called it a career in, like, competitive CrossFit? What's, like, the progression of that why? Like, so we covered, like, why you started, but now, like, prepping for the games, what got you through, like, those, like, long bleeding workouts? What gets you through now that you're on the other side of it?
Yeah, like, originally when I started doing it was just to see, like, how far I could push myself. Mm-hmm. Like, I've always enjoyed, even though, like, I didn't enjoy the weight room and stuff, I enjoyed being fit. Like, I enjoyed being, the fittest person in our squadron when I was in the military. And, like, we would do runs, and I would just, if I beat everybody, like, that was my goal, you know? And I enjoyed people looking to me as, like somebody who was health, you know, they'd be like, oh, hey, if you want to get, you know, stronger or faster or be healthier, you should probably go talk to that guy over there, you know, and they would point at me. Like, that was a badge of honor to me. And so I've always kind of been known as, like, even when growing up, like, the kid who was the fit kid or the guy who was the fit guy or whatever it was, even though I didn't go to the gym and do a lot of that stuff. And when I found CrossFit, it was like just another way for me to, like, see what my body is capable of. Like, what is the limit? What actually can I do? You know what I mean? And it made it fun, which was awesome. And that was the original goal. It was just, how far can I push myself, right? And then when I got home from the military and I started doing it out of my garage with, like, my friends who would come over, it was like, okay, well, let me show them how far they can push themselves by me showing them how far I can push myself. Because you get a friend, you know, you've known this kid since he was a baby, right? And I know what he's capable of, but he's just giving up. I'm like, how can I show him how to push past that? Because I know that that's going to affect his life in some other way outside of this little thing that we're doing here, right? And, but because I had recognized that in myself. And so the only way I knew how to get that across to them was, number one, by screaming at them. I thought that was the best coaching back in the day. Bye, Carrie Ann. And then number two was by me showing them and taking myself to that place where they would look at me and be like, holy shit, this guy's going fucking apeshit right now. Like, I can't believe he's still moving, or I can't believe he's still doing that. And back in the day, at that point, it was like, worst thing you've ever seen, you know what I mean? But it was like, yeah, you know, but it was just like, I'm going to show you what true hard work was. And then that's where it kind of started to morph into, like, when I became a coach across Inferno, then it was, again, about me showing people what they're capable of by showing them what, like, look at what the human body can do. Watch what I'm going to push. I'm going to push myself to a place you've never seen before right now, just to prove to you that you can do that too as well. Because I'm just a body like you.
Yeah.
You know? And after that, I made the games and stuff, and, like, I started getting, like, emails from people or, you know, saying, like, dude, you're such an inspiration to me. Like, you know, I can't believe, like, your story is so cool, all this sort of stuff. And then at the games, I remember my whole family flew down there. My side of my family is really small. It's just me, my sister, and my niece.
Yeah.
But my wife's side of the family is pretty big.
Yeah.
And they all came down. And I remember, like, seeing my nieces and nephews in the stands and stuff like that. And then I had this switch where it wasn't like, now it's not about me trying to prove to other people what they're capable of, but now it's about me being a role model for people who don't think they can do this, or the younger kids, to show them what hard work can actually do.
Yeah.
And so ever since 2013 until now, and even now in this transition phase I'm in, it's been about showing people what they're capable of.
Yeah.
By not telling them that they can do it, but by doing it myself. And then being like, look, you can do it, believe me. I didn't grow up working out. I didn't go to the gym. I didn't do any of that stuff. It's just, what you're mentally capable of. Like, you can push yourself to what you didn't think you possibly do. And then how can that relate to your everyday life, right? Yeah. And now in this transition phase I'm in now, which is like I'm a dad now, I'm retired from competing. It's about showing people that that doesn't mean that I just get to sit on the couch and eat ho-hos and get fat. And it's all good. And it's all good because
you're like John Wayne it off into the sunset or anything.
Yeah,
like
you know, and that's what most people would be like, well, do whatever, just, you know, but showing that like you can live a balanced life, right? Where like I can enjoy myself, you know, every other weekend or maybe like once a week in a month, like go have beers with people and stuff like that, but that you can still be really fit and you can still do a lot of these movements that people think that they can't do because, oh, well, I'm a dad and I have a full-time job and I blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
Now it's about me being able to be like, hey, fuck, so do I.
Yeah.
But look at me. Yeah. I'm still doing it. So what's your excuse?
Yeah.
Because that's all I hear is excuses.
Sure.
And so I want to be able to, like the same way with my injury of my shoulder, I could come to them and be like, look, I've been there before.
Yeah.
And I know exactly what you need to do. Don't do this, do this. And they'll listen to me because they're like, okay, yeah, you've been through it. Awesome. Now it's the opposite where I'm like, I'm a dad. I own my own business. And I'm going to show them that you can still fit things in and still do it and still be fit and healthy.
It's awesome. I see you hitting workouts in the backyard too. Jim,
yeah,
right there.
Yeah, exactly,
you know,
dude. Yeah, we put
a
rig in our backyard. We have a rower in our garage, and I lug stuff out there when Joey goes to sleep for 30 minutes, and I get it in.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? Because it's that important to me. I did I wrote like a blog a long time ago that I got a lot better results or not results. I don't know what the word I'm looking for. But people were more stoked on it than I thought they'd be about like what's truly said being selfish. Is it the dad who like works his ass off day in and day out, 16, 17 hours a day to provide food and money for his family, right? And they have a nice house and kids go to college and the dad dies when he's 50 or 60 because he never focused on his health. He just focused on working and giving everything he could to his family, right?
Yeah.
Because he's a very unselfish person. He wants to make sure that his family is cared for.
Yeah.
But then he has a heart attack at 60.
Yeah.
So that's, to me, that's being selfish.
Yeah.
Now your kids don't have a father. You know what I mean? And I could come at this from, again, my dad had a heart attack when he was 31.
Shit.
And died. My mom died from a heart aneurysm at 62 because they didn't take care of themselves.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like they worked their asses off. My dad was a commercial fisherman, worked his fucking ass off for money. My mom was a waitress, worked her ass off, so held two jobs, was a maid at like a hotel too as well. And health was not on their radar, right? Like they grew up pretty healthy, but the second they had kids and all of a sudden it became not about them, it became about us, that just drove them into the ground, you know? And I was like, fuck that. Like, I'm not going to do that, you know? And so the paper was all about like, who's really the selfish one? The person who's like working 18 to 20 hours a day and not focusing on the health, or the person who takes an hour out of their day every day to go to the gym, to food prep, and to go to bed early. You know what I mean? And like, yeah, maybe they make 20 grand less a year. You have to have a smaller house.
Yeah.
You can't have as cool of a car, but you live 40 years longer with your kids. Like, to me, that should be priority number one is your health.
Your little one comes to you in, how old is she now?
7.5 months.
Okay. So she comes to you in 15 years.
Uh-huh.
Says, Dad, I want to do CrossFit.
Fuck yeah.
I want to go to the games.
Fuck yeah.
Yeah? All right. Sweet. that to me, I think, is like a true marker of like, should you be doing something? Like,
dude,
would you
the
want
day
kids?
She was born, I think I hashtagged like 2034 games champ.
He did the math. That's awesome.
Yeah. Like, right. I'm like, dude, she's going to go for sure. I mean, obviously, she'll do whatever she wants to do.
Sure, yeah.
You know, and I'll support her in whatever she wants to do. But oh my god, that'd be awesome.
Yeah, I mean, growing up in this environment, I'm sure it's
she'll either hate it or she'll love it, right?
Yeah.
One of the two.
Yeah,
yeah.
How many days a week is she in here?
Oh, every day,
every day.
Yeah,
that's awesome.
Yeah, every day in some way, she's in here. Yeah, yeah.
When you lift now, I mean, and even before, like, is there aggression? Like, is there, because you seem like pretty subdued, you know, talk surfing, talk skateboarding, but it's like there has to be something else driving you. Like, you have to be able to tap into that Jekyll and Hyde sort of thing. Like, some people just do it for the competition,
mm-hmm.
but like powerlifting especially, like, there's a lot of guys that need therapy. Like, dude, if you're, it's like, good
that
thing you're sweating
therapy, right?
Yeah, but like,
yeah.
If you weren't sweating, it would be more obvious to other people that you're clearly crying on the platform. Like, screw you, dad, ma. Like,
yeah,
but it's like, I mean, you seem like pretty subdued, like chill, mellow. Is that you when you're training?
I live my life in extreme balance, is what I call it.
Ah, all right, I see where this is going.
Yeah, so like I'm definitely like an all or nothing kind of guy, which has been a hard transition for me now.
Yeah.
Like now that I'm not competing. So like it's been easy the last 7 years where it's just like, no, it's season. I'm competing. Like I don't hang out with friends. I don't do anything. I eat this way. I go to sleep at this time. Like nothing gets in the way of my training and nothing gets in the way of what I'm doing. And then when it's off season, it's freaking off season. We're hanging out. You know what I mean? And like, it's been fun to find that new transition, but I definitely have like a, when it's competition time, I'm a different person.
Yeah.
I'm not the same. Like Jordan probably knows. I was, I've been wanting to say this to you, but sorry, I was a dick at regionals.
No, dude.
Like I try to be really like when I'm at competition, like very like talkative with people as much as I can and stuff, but it's hard. I don't really have that. Like it's like my switch turns and like I'm there to do business and like I don't want to talk to you.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like I want to focus on what I got to do next and get it done with. And you know, there's definitely a switch. I have a hard time doing that though, like with the day to day training, which is usually why I do way better in competition than I do actually like in day to day stuff.
Well, it's something that we were both talking about. We talked about this before. So my office is in the gym I train at. His office is in the gym he trains at.
Yeah.
Your office is in the gym you own. I got to wear a lot of different hats around the gym. And I mean, we're the same in competition. Like, you got real fucking moody before regionals. I didn't want to, again, I didn't want to say anything.
I think everybody does
dude,
that.
Sleep and eat more carbs.
I patched it up. There used to be a hole over there where a parallel went through the wall.
A parallel? What?
A parallel, like a little thing you do, like push ups on.
Yeah.
And yeah, most of the holes that have happened in the walls in this gym are from me throwing stuff through them.
Okay.
And it's usually a week before regionals.
Now, how is it like?
Well, that's the apex of the season right there.
Yeah.
So we need to watch how we interact, like when we're training, because it's like this is going to have a direct feedback into my business. So, I mean, I have obnoxiously large prep headphones that I wear that it is a very, it might not be plugged into anything, but they're on my ears. That this is like, do not talk to me. These are my quiet time headphones. Like, please fuck off. How is it that you balance owning a gym, being a coach, an owner, a dad, a friend, everyone in here, and being an athlete trying to train at the same time?
You have to have a very tight schedule.
Yeah.
And so like, I try to avoid training in here when other people are in here too as well. And because my job when I'm in this gym is to be a servant to them.
Yeah.
Like my job isn't to like, hey, I'm working out right now. I'll talk to you later. Like, no, you're paying me a shitload of money every month that when you ask me a question, I'm going to answer you and I'm going to give you as much time as I possibly can. So I work my training schedule around making sure that nobody's in here and that I can close the doors and that nobody's planning on coming in either at that time. We put a rig in our backyard. You know, like I have plenty of places I can go and work out and not have to worry about being selfish when I do it. You know what I mean? And that's even harder now having Joey too as well. But if I'm in here, let's say that it's happened before plenty of times where I'm in the middle of working out. It's when I can do it. It's right before class is going to start. And I have somebody come up to me in the middle of my workout. They're like, hey, can you help me with X? And I stop my workout and I go help them with whatever it is they need help with.
Because do you die inside?
No, I don't at all.
See, that's me. Like,
no, not at all. Because it's like,
you're better
than I should be so lucky that somebody is coming into my gym, paying me money every month, and letting me live my freaking dream of, number one, being a business owner. Like, I don't have to answer to anybody, right? Well, besides the people who come here.
And the wife.
Yeah,
write that down.
You know what I mean? But, like, they're letting me live my dream. And if I'm going to be selfish enough to be like, no, I need to finish my muscle-ups before I talk to you, it's like, go fuck yourself, dude.
Like, I feel like that's how I sound. I say shit like that, dude. You
know,
like, all my voices.
Yeah, no, and I stop and I go help them. Because it was my fault that I didn't schedule my time well enough to do it during a time when they wouldn't be in it.
Yeah.
So if that's what happens, that's what happens.
So coach and affiliate owner first, athlete second.
Husband and
I saw that.
All right, all right.
You know what he's missing?
That's what it is. Husband and dad first for sure. Yeah.
Yeah.
But honestly,
so athlete's like, definitely further down the list.
Oh yeah. Yeah, 100%. And it's always been like that ever since we opened up this gym. Like I said earlier, like my family is me, my sister, and my niece, and 184 people in this gym.
Yeah.
And I really honestly, like, I know that, like, CrossFit gyms say it all the time, we're a family, you know what I mean? But, like, that's not messing around. That's my selfish own thing, is that I really honestly, when I'm here, like, I like treat this place like it's my family, and they do the same thing, man. Like, it's like, I can't tell you, I'm happy I'm done competing, because I'm, every time I come back from regionals, they throw this fucking huge party for me, they barbecue, they bring all this beer and stuff like that, and it's like, I'm tired of them doing stuff for me,
yeah,
honestly. Yeah, and it's like, because they've been so awesome and so amazing, and I'm just ready to do stuff for them, finally. And so, yeah.
I really hope people at my gym hear that. So they're like, oh, shit. I come back from competition, I don't get nothing. It's like, where the hell you been, man? It's like, oh, thanks very much.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it does feel like I haven't walked in this gym one time and not gotten a hug from you. So it's like, you know, going over your cousin's house or something every time you come here. So that's pretty cool.
It's awesome. It's like, it always reminds me of the first tattoo shop I ever went into. It was a traditional tattoo shop in San Luis Obispo. And tattoo shops are usually, like, a stigma-wise, kind of a scary place to go for people, right? Like, they would think, like, there's going to be these tattoo guys there. They're going to be super mean to me. Like, I don't really want to go because it's a kind of a scary place. And I feel like CrossFit gyms are kind of the same way for people who don't know about CrossFit, right? They're like, it's a very scary place to go into. They're going to be all super huge. Nobody's going to talk to me because I'm not as fit as them and blah, blah, blah. So they just don't even go.
Yeah.
And I remember when I walked into that tattoo shop, the guy who owns the place, Shad, he was just like, his face just lit up when I walked in there, and he was the nicest fucking dude. And all the other employees, they were super nice. Oh, hey Wes, nice to see you. Like, how you been? Like, blah blah blah. And I'm like, is this a tattoo shop or like, is this like a nail salon? Like, what is going on here? You know? And I remember like wanting to create that same atmosphere in my gym, where the second somebody walks in, you have to say their name. Like, hey, so and so, welcome. You know? Or when somebody leaves, you have to say goodbye to them.
Yeah.
Later, so and so. Right? Like, to let them know that, like, I'm so happy you came here. Thank you for coming into my day for a little bit, and I'm going to show you that I actually truly appreciate that by something as simple as just saying your name. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, I think that gets away from a lot of people. So, yeah, we try to foster that environment that, like, come to the best hour of your day every single day. Come to the place that you want to be every day as many times as you can. Like, I want to put it up Deuce's Gym. In LA. Yeah, have you ever heard of that place?
I've been there, yeah.
Oh, awesome. Have you seen that thing they have on the wall that says you don't have to work out to kick it?
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I want to get that up there too. That's awesome. I think that's one of the best lines I've ever heard. Yeah. Like, you can come here anytime, day or night, that you want, if we're open, and just fucking chill.
Yeah, I tell people that all the time.
You don't have to work out.
Just hang out with me, man.
Yeah, exactly. Just come chill here, man. We got this lounge here. There's Normatec. You can Normatec if you want. You can hang out. We have a spike ball, like, thing over here if you want to play spike ball.
Fucking spike ball, god damn it. Like, it's like, so hard to get this asshole to do any work because he's always, how'd you roll your ankle?
Spike ball.
That's awesome. It's just like, hey, you want to lift? No, I can't, man. Spike ball injury. It's like, god, I'm on the day-to-day. I'm like, oh, man.
That's more accepted than if you rolled your ankle doing a snatch.
Oh, I'd be so upset.
If you did a snatch, you'd be like, see, cross is dangerous.
Yeah. Yeah, right?
But you roll your ankle to spike ball, people are like, oh, dude, you must have been on hard. That's awesome.
I was. Yeah. Laid out for it.
That's going to be an event.
In my mind, I made the play, probably did.
That's going to be an event at the games. It's just slowly working its way into a giant.
There was a CrossFit competition in Santa Cruz where, I don't know if it was true or not, but one of the events was a spike ball tournament. It was best out of three. It was a team CrossFit competition, and one of the events was like a spike ball.
That sounds
the top of the pyramid. Huh?
That sounds like something that would happen in Santa Cruz.
Yeah.
My limited knowledge of what goes on over
the
hill.
I'm a little bummed I didn't sign up.
Actually, it was so funny. I was having this conversation the other day with somebody who, the guy, his name's Anthony, he's a member here. He used to bike. That's what he did, like long distance.
Okay, the Tour de France kind of stuff.
He would get together with all his buddies on, you know, you see them. On the side of the road, there's 50 of them.
They're in the middle.
They're in the middle of the goddamn road.
Sweetie, pull over.
You know what I mean? Because they're like, share the road with bikes, you know? And they would all go to coffee afterwards. They were like those guys.
Yeah.
You'd see at Starbucks afterwards, right? And he loved it. And he did it every day. And then he came in and started doing CrossFit with us.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, he kind of stopped biking so much. And his buddies kind of like would like haggle him, like, oh, you're a CrossFitter now. You don't want to ride bikes, blah, blah, blah. And he's like, well, I just don't have enough time. And I'm like, finally, I went to him, like, dude, why did you come to do CrossFit in the first place? And he was like, to get better at biking. And I'm like, well, then what the fuck?
Yeah.
And I'm like, let's start biking again then, right? Because that's the tip of the pyramid. Like you talked about, like the Greg Glassman's theoretical hierarchy of an athlete. The bottom is nutrition and the top is sport. Mm. Like, use the stuff that we do in the gym, right? Like, feed yourself well, do some metabolic conditioning, weightlifting and throwing, some gymnastics, and then do a sport. like express the fitness you have in some way outside of this gym in some other way, whether that be spike ball or whether that be riding your bike or whether it be basketball with your kids on the weekends. Like, remember that, like, CrossFit is not the end. It's the beginning of a means to the end, right? It's like, it's, I do CrossFit so that I can insert my favorite thing in the world here.
That's,
you know,
a great point. I think it gets lost way too often, especially
yeah.
in that day to day. It's so easy just to, you know, make every day the same. All right, we're CrossFit, go home. We're
yep.
CrossFit, go home. People lose that.
Yeah, it's
so
like express that, and I think that'll make you a better CrossFit.
Absolutely.
Right, you go get out and like start playing some spike ball, and moving in different directions, and like having to jump and push and pull and like those types
yeah.
of things. Like that's will make you better in the gym too, as well, and probably keep you from burning out.
Yeah. Couldn't agree more.
I think the only thing powerlifting has prepped me for is helping my friends move on weekends.
That's
like, I just
lift
different
couch.
Shit to different places, but it's like there's not much. There's a lot of into the technique side of things when the weights get that heavy, but as far as like coordination and athleticism, like I have a friend of mine who wants to take a CrossFit class and not just Jordan, and it's like I haven't done a lung day in a long time. Like, I don't know if that's in the cards.
Dude, powerlifting is so hard.
It's so
I don't
much.
Get it. That, like, I always hear people like strongmen, especially, or powerlifters,
sure.
where they're like, no, dude, that's just way too much breathing. And I'm like, bro, like, a heavy set of 5 back squat?
Yeah.
That's fucking cardio, man. That's hard. Like, when you do it, yeah, it's
I don't know. It's,
no, it's not. It's not different at
it's
all.
It's more
man.
Cerebral, I think, just because it's like, you need to be the ramifications of things going wrong. It's funny because I always do this in, like, analogy with like bigger lifters, and they always usually are on board with it. Have you ever read the book Princess and the Pea?
No.
Really? Okay. Wow. You're like.
Oh, you're talking about the one where they sleep on the bed. They put.
See,
okay, yeah,
yes.
Yeah, okay. Gotcha.
The
yeah,
record
yeah.
lives on.
Okay.
So basically, that's when I look at powerlifting. It's like when you get to a certain point, like, you know, if you're back squatting 135 for 20 reps, you know, some aberrant movement in one rep, not going to be the end of the world. But it's like when you got like 700 pounds on your back and there's that pee under your left foot, sticking with the analogy, you're just like, you have to be so cerebral. And that's like, that to me is the only exhausting part about it. Like, it's one rep. Well, it's one rep, 3 times. 3 lifts, 9 lifts. It's literally waiting at the DMV with strong people. Like, that's that's powerlifting competitions. It's just
for
like,
sure.
Oh, calling number 47. It's like,
dude,
oh, number 47.
Totally
all right. Like, no
we
respect
to,
for it.
We
all.
Went to one of our members, Corey's powerlifting competition. And I remember like that, like, dude, when are you going to go? And
yeah.
he's like, in like 2 hours,
yeah.
I think.
Do you want to
like,
go grab
yeah.
a burrito? Like,
yeah,
yeah,
totally. I was like,
go.
Dang, dude. I like, this seems dangerous.
Well, it's hard to say, like, not just physically in it and to like switch from squat to bench to deadlift, but like mentally stay in it. Cause
all
you guys
day.
Are in fucking gauge, right? Like
yeah.
where is your head at? So you got what? 5 events at CrossFit Games?
Oh, games
like
is
games?
Like 13.
Oh
right?
shit. Okay.
Games
so 5 events at regionals then.
Six, seven.
I'm learning.
Depends.
No, like
you're usually doing 2 to 3 workouts a day.
So like walk me through like maintain. And something I've asked him about is maintaining that headspace of competition for like
this
days
is the perfect
on end.
Question for him. Because we kind of touched on that earlier, but Wes is one of the most intense competitors I've ever seen.
Oh,
like he's one of the nicest guys, but when it's competition time, you put on a different face and you go.
Like
it's,
how do you stay switched in?
Fucking
that?
Awesome to watch. So yeah, this is a great question.
I don't know. I don't know. I think like some people have it, some people don't.
Yeah.
You
but
know,
is
like,
it an off and on? Like, I mean,
yeah,
I
think it's a like, fuck me, I put in all this goddamn hard work. I'm
yeah.
not going to let it go to shit. You know
yeah.
what I mean? Like, day in and day out, like, missing birthdays, missing weddings, like,
yeah. Yeah.
working out, like, until my hands are bleeding and, like, you know, eating this way and, like, missing all these things. It's, like, all those emotions, like, in one moment where you're just, like, I put everything I had into this.
Yeah.
And if I'm not going to give that right now in this moment, then what was it all for? You know? And it's, like, it's easy to turn it on. Like that when you put in the work beforehand.
Yeah.
So at the game, how many? So give me the layout
yeah,
of
the
game.
So games. Let's kind of get into this a little bit because we touched on it, but I want to hear your side of it, your perspective being a CrossFit Games athlete. So in 2013, what was the experience? And these.
It's so funny when you say that because I totally don't feel like a CrossFit Games athlete.
Dude, you did it.
Like I feel. Yeah,
you
but
did
like.
It.
Even
your
even
hand
that,
is stamped, man.
Well, even
that's
then
like,
when that happened, it was like such a like. Holy shit, I can't believe I made it to the games. Like, it was,
oh,
like,
shit.
I was in awe that I had, like, I went into that year, like, can't believe, like, honestly, my whole goal that year was, like, in the Open, I got 3rd in SoCal, in the Open,
yeah.
and I remember being, like, fuck, I'm going to go to regionals and not be good, and everybody's going to think I cheated in some way during the Open.
The tape on loop.
Yeah. Totally. That's what I was scared of, was going to regionals and bombing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How did this guy
in this competition I've never been in before and have him be like, yeah, it's fucking third place. Get out of here, dude. You know what I mean? And like, that was my driving force in every workout. I was like, I'm going to prove to you that I can do this. You know what I mean? Like, I'm not a fake. I swear to God. Like, there was like the year before that, there was a lot of, it used to be that like when you you worked out at an affiliate, like you didn't have to videotape your workouts as long as the affiliate owner would say, yeah, he
and
did
Bill
it.
Said it was cool.
Yeah, Bill said it was cool, right? You know, so I had that on my conscience too as well. Was like, man, like don't fuck up and make Bill look like an asshole too.
Yeah.
And then they're going to be like, what, you're an athlete? Like, you know, because there was a lot of rumbling back in the day that people would do that. Like they'd just be like, yeah, I got this score. I'm going to regionals.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And they show up at regionals and like, oh, my knee. Oh, the first workout. You know, like, oh.
Just get like Nancy Kerrigan in the back room with the lead pipes.
My ankle, I'm out. You know? And they'd be like, yeah, sure you are.
Yeah.
You know? And so like that was my driving force. I was like, just don't look like an asshole. Like I was like, if I can get like top 10, like, okay, cool. At least I'll prove to them that like, no, I'm fit. I did this. I put in the work. And then like going was like, oh, shit. Now I gotta go to the games. And I remember being like scared.
Now
like,
I gotta go.
Ah, my knee hurts. Oh, so yeah, exactly.
Shit.
Like, oh, you know what? Actually, and I remember being so scared the whole time of the games of just like not worried about how I did at the games because whatever, I made it and it was all good, but just being like, am I gonna survive this?
Yeah.
Oh, that's. I mean, that's kind of what I picture.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not on the same level as you, but it's basically survival at that point.
This guy.
I know.
I mean,
it's ridiculous. Now you're obviously a fan of the sport, then, right?
Yeah.
Like, so being at the games with people, like, you know, from like, holy shit, that's.
Yeah, total nerd
guy.
Out moment.
Yeah. How do you, like, I mean, does that permeate the focus a little bit? Like,
oh, shit. Yeah, and I was totally like that the whole time.
Yeah,
definitely. Like, I wanted to take selfies with every one of them.
Did
and just
you?
Be like, no, I didn't. I held it in. Yeah.
Do you regret not
no
doing
regrets.
It?
No, I don't. Because I would look like a total asshole.
Right,
I feel like I would have done that.
Fair enough.
But
yeah,
no, yeah.
Left with some dignity.
Yeah, I left with a little bit of dignity.
Is there a games workout that sticks out in your mind? Like, is there one that, like, yeah, that was the one? Because you, top
Dude.
Was six. Was it six? Six?
Yeah.
Was that your best placing in an event?
In
at the games?
Full event at the games? I remember watching.
I have no idea.
See, we got your stat line.
Dude, I never know any of that stuff. People will always be like,
yeah.
What did you get? What placing did you get on this workout? That I'm like, I don't know, dude.
Yeah.
I just went hard, and I remember crossing the finish line, and they gave me my score.
Yeah.
And
I was breathing into like a brown paper bag for 10 minutes.
2013,
yeah.
Like, that's some of the most iconic CrossFit events I've seen at the games, like the burden run.
Oh, that was
okay. I mean,
so
I can't
for the uninitiated people, what are you talking about?
I don't even know if I know. No, I'm sure it's burned in your memory.
I don't know the exact mileage of the run, but it was a really, really, really long run that started out with, for a CrossFitter, it's a really, really, really long run.
Yeah.
It was like probably 2 miles.
Oh, shit.
Like that.
Hey.
That's long.
That is long.
For all of us that are sitting
long.
Around
yeah,
this
yeah,
way,
yeah.
That's long.
We can agree on that.
Then it was a 100-yard pig flip, so like a tire flip. I'm sure you've seen one of those pigs before that they like CrossFit made that you like put weights on the inside of it and you can make it heavier or lighter.
Does Sundown have it?
No, it's like a metal beam, basically, that you're flipping.
It's like it's like flipping a tire, but they
they
made an implement that you could add weight to it or take weight
off.
Okay,
so you make
the
tire
cool.
heavier.
Yeah,
okay.
Exactly.
What was it, like 500 pounds?
Yeah, it was like 500-pound tire that we had to flip. For 100 yards. So it's basically like doing a 100 max deadlift for 100 yards. And then at the end, you picked up a log. You put a log on your back. And then you ran from the football field, like through into the tennis or into the soccer stadium, put down the log, and then you dragged this way too heavy of a sled for 100 yards.
Yes.
And then that was the end of it. And it was, you know, that's how they kicked it off.
Yeah.
Right in the nuts.
Yeah.
Jesus,
dude,
Christ,
so,
man.
Oh,
that
year was some of the gnarliest events. You guys had the marathon row too.
Oh yeah, the half marathon row is definitely like one of the sticks out to me as like the worst things I've ever done. Like I remember just sitting on that rower, like wanting to just get up so bad and be like, I'm out, you guys. Right? This has been,
you
this
win.
Been fun.
Yeah.
This
taxi.
Been fun. I think this is where my games end.
Yeah.
See you later. Bow.
Now is this at the same? This is at the same competition. This pig flip run log sled shit, and then
that
on
was only
a rower.
Two of the workouts.
Out of how many?
it was like 12, first 13. Day we did the swim bar muscle up workout, and then we did the half marathon row, and then Wednesday, and then we had Thursday off, and then Friday we started with the burden run, And then we did some other stuff that day, and then Saturday.
That was the max clean and jerk too, the ladder. I remember that year. I don't know what day it was.
Yeah, I don't know either.
I remember the Cinco's.
So when you crossed the line after that madness,
mm-hmm.
last event, what's first thing going through your mind? Because I've asked you this, like you just said you just want to fucking sleep and eat a burrito.
Oh.
Or is it like, fucking, I'm going to Disney World? Like,
well, it's so funny. Yeah, like, so the whole time leading up to it, you're like, dude, when this thing is over, like, we are crushing beers and, like, we are going to go hard. It's going to be awesome. And you finish.
JK.
And you're like, yeah, haha, JK, guys, I'm going to sleep for the next 3 days.
I'm going to grab coconut water and go to bed.
You must have been totally, dude.
Can I get this in an IV? Swallowing is too hard.
Yeah, like, and so we would like they have the after party after the game, and like we go downstairs and like, well, and then we also have like all of our friends that came.
Yeah.
And they want to party with you too as well. And so you're basically down there like half asleep with a beer in your hand. And you just keep that beer in your hand.
Yeah.
And you have like two sips of it, and then you hang out until like you see people getting pretty drunk, and you can like sneak away and go to bed.
No one's
going to
notice.
You sleep for the next 2 days, and then you rage.
Yeah.
This is sore as hell.
Yeah.
Like that has to stand out as like the most sore you've ever been.
No, actually, it wasn't.
Uh-uh.
All right. Oh, I suppose military. I mean, military training, be that like.
Yeah, no.
What would be the point? Like, what workout? Because yours is, your best is what, Fran, right? That's the one you're pretty good at?
Okay.
Of the named
workouts.
Of the named workouts, which one is like your favorite? Like,
my favorite?
Jordan doesn't really understand the named workouts.
I don't, well, no, because I've said this before. It sounds like to me, like, you ever seen Gone in 60 Seconds?
Yeah.
Like, at the wall of car names, they're all, that's all I imagine, like, CrossFit HQ is. It's just like this giant chalkboard with Nicolas Cage, like,
gotcha.
Yeah.
I just gotta erase it.
Exactly.
Like, they use the black light to do that.
Yeah, right?
That's awesome.
That's what all this is. I look at that, and just like, we flick the black light on, all the named workouts are already on the wall.
That's awesome.
Do you have, like, a favorite? Like,
no.
No?
No,
they all suck. All right, good. I didn't want to say it because I thought it would be out of my league, but
no, I don't like any of them. I mean, I do them, and I like the way I feel after, and I like that it pushes me, but it's not like I'm excited to do a workout. Like, I don't know. You just
benchmarks are less fun too because there's that like, oh, I know my time.
Yeah, and that's worse,
yeah.
Which has been cool because I wiped all those clean.
Yeah.
Now, I was like, I'm going to have post-competition era benchmarks now.
Yeah.
Because it would be really depressing to try to hit all those numbers again for the rest of my life after, like, not training like that, you know? So I was just like, I'm going to rewipe everything clear, and I'm starting over again, which has been kind of cool.
So how do you, like, I mean, you talked about now being an inspiration sort of for those people with the 9-to-5 and the kids and the business and all that. How do you gauge people when they come to you? Because you're also a coach. Hey, I want to go to the games.
Oh, awesome.
What do you tell people?
Fuck yeah, let's do it.
Fuck yeah, okay, all right. But, like, do you prepare them for, like, mentally for that side of, like, hey, you know that stuff you like to do on weekends? Mm-hmm. Not anymore. Like,
yeah. I wouldn't say I've had very many people come to me and actually say that, you know. I have had a few, and I definitely have a sit-down talk with them and explain to them exactly what that means.
Yeah.
And then I tell them to leave. And think about it for a couple weeks, and then if they still want to in a couple weeks do that, everything I laid out to them, then come back and we'll get started.
Yeah.
And I've never had anybody come back.
Seriously?
Yeah, I have. I lied. I have two athletes I work with right now.
Yeah.
But they're competitors. I didn't have to worry about that with them. It's not like they came to me like fresh.
Yeah.
Like, I've never done CrossFit before, and I want to go to the games. It's like they've been in the game for a long time, and they're still trying to get there. And they hired me on as their coach, so. That was a different conversation.
Yeah.
It was just like, hey, you can't drink. And they're like, all right, cool. No problem.
Rats.
You know, but they were already there mentally, and so it wasn't an issue. But anybody who like that who's come to me and been like, I don't know much about this thing, but I saw it on TV and I want to go to the games. And I had that conversation with them, and then they just kind of fade away.
Yeah.
And then they never come back. Like, we had an athlete say that to me once. He came to one workout with us and never came back. And I was like,
I hope he's listening. Because he knows who he is.
He didn't really want to go to the games.
Yeah, he never came back.
I feel like if you ask, you already kind of know, right? If you have to seek out the advice from, like,
there has to be an internal fire that's burning to do that for another reason besides just wanting to go to the games.
Yeah, that doesn't
like,
matter.
If that's, like, I went to the games during a time where I just enjoyed pushing myself hard. Like, I enjoyed being at the gym. 24/7. It was my safe place. It was like where my family was. The guy who owned the gym was also a fire captain, like down the street from the fire department I worked at too. So he was like an inspiration for me too as well. Not just like his CrossFit, but as a firefighter. And I wanted to be around him as much as I possibly could. just to be a better firefighter and a better person. And so, like, I had this place I could go to where I was like, it was my mecca. And it was everything I wanted to be, which was pushing myself as an athlete and a person, being an inspiration to other people, having the opportunity to coach people, plus also be having, like, my mentor, Bill, around me, who's going to, like, teach me how to be a better firefighter and a better athlete, too, as well.
So you got firefighter, military, CrossFit, business owner. Essential. That's like superhero stuff.
He's a superhero.
I feel like, I mean, I feel really inadequate now because it's like I got nothing. Like it's shit. If like I burn toast, it's like, oh, sweetie, get the toaster, get the toaster. I'm like being the dog and running around like, oh god,
oh man.
So if I were to walk in this, I mean, and I'm not anti-powerlifting or not anti-CrossFit now that I've been hanging around with you for 5 years too long. Yeah,
and warming them up for
you. If you were to give me the elevator pitch. Like, preach to the convert, like, try and get me into doing CrossFit. What would you say? Or, like, even members that come in who are on the fence, who are unsure, you know, these big, scary people, a big group of them, non-inclusive. And, like, yeah. How do you break down people's, like, preconceptions of what CrossFit is to get them put in the door?
Yeah, that's so individually based. Okay. Right? Like, it depends on the person and what they're after.
Can you convince Jordan to take a CrossFit class?
Well, I mean, it'd be like, why would you want to do CrossFit in the first place?
Yeah,
and that's a hard question for you to answer, Bobby. You're probably like, I don't know, I don't. He's just trying to make me do it.
Yeah,
right?
I like doing stuff I'm good at, which is not be CrossFit, I don't think. I'm too old to be bad at stuff now. Awesome. Like, I was bad at stuff for a long time. I found stuff I was kind of okay at, good at, and then I was like, this is good. I'm going to stay here. I'm not going to challenge myself ever.
And that's powerlifting.
Yeah, lifting stuff, like, once.
Lifting stuff.
Like, stuff. Yeah, barbells usually, but it translates, yeah. Yeah, I can lift most stuff pretty well. Most heavy things I'm good with now, but, like, how does that integrate into power? I mean, or into CrossFit? Because there is. I mean, you guys squat, you guys bench, you guys deadlift.
Yeah.
Bench maybe not as much, but like there is that push movement there.
Mm-hmm.
If you were to try and preach to a powerlifter the benefit of CrossFit,
I would just say the better athlete you are in general, right? The bigger your engine is, the more horsepower you can dump into that engine.
Yeah, I like it. Yeah. Because you guys know. who's the guy that did the deadlift ladder up to 615 on the broken leg?
Sam Dancer.
Yeah. He's my CrossFit idol.
Yeah. It doesn't need mean like you need to do CrossFit 6 days a week, right? Yeah. But if you can add this as a supplementation to what you do to make it better, then yeah, let's do it. And will it make it better? Yeah, I can almost guarantee it will. Because all you're doing is expanding the margins of your experience. Like, so it's like, this is you, Jordan, and your bubble is this big right around you. Like, I love one rep max lifts. So I like to listen to whatever type of music.
Yep.
I like to work out at this time of the day. Well, if I can get you out of that bubble a little bit and expand that, we can just dump more work in there. That's all it is. So that just is, a couple more sets on your back squat that you normally wouldn't have done, right? That's more stress on the body. It's kind of adaptation, which is going to make you change and become stronger. And so the bigger engine that you can build, the more of a well-rounded athlete that you can be, the better power lifter you're going to be. Bottom line.
There we go.
One day. Well, I think that'll be like an upsell.
It'll be like, all right, Jordan finally cracks and does a wad or
is that, I said that right?
Just do something that you want to do.
I've heard there's CrossFit
Linda.
Workout.
Linda, that's cool.
Is that the one that's like the 500-pound deadlift, the muscle up?
King Kong.
Okay. I feel like that's my best shot.
I would have to do King Kong. You like throw yourself through the rings and blow out a freaking shoulder or something.
I'm
going to
get him on top. I got him upside down.
Photo evidence. I do that as a shoulder warm-up now when I bench.
Yeah.
Is I go upside.
See?
And, dude, people look at me in this
CrossFit
powerlifting gym. It's like, well, it's weird because the guy that owns it used to be like a gymnast. Then he used to be male cheerleader. So, like, he can move. Like, he can do inverted handstands at, like, 275 pounds. And so it's, like, I am working with him on, like, a one-to-one level kind of in my office. It's, like, this guy's shoulders are fucking bulletproof. Like, I've never once had to address anything or, like, when we talk about corrective exercise and stuff like that in the gym, it's, like, it's never a shoulder. Bench is, like, dude, bench 545 with his feet up. Yeah, good. You? Right? And it's like,
I would just look at that bar. Yeah.
I figured, like, he's
over the rack.
He's held humans over his head. And I was like, okay, well, let's not start with other people. Let's just see with myself. And now, just like, he got me up. Oh, dude, I tumbled the other day at the gym. There's no one around. I totally ate shit. It was bad. But, like, in the handstand position with the feet up against the wall. And, dude, the looks I got from some people is like, what's this guy trying to be an athlete and shit? Get down from there. You'll hurt yourself.
Well, I think a big misconception is what is CrossFit? People see us, you know, just run around. You know, they probably have some image of CrossFit in their head.
You don't
but
wear
something
a shirt.
As simple. Yeah.
This is the longest I've seen you with a shirt. I'm surprised your
shirt's
still on.
I try and spend about 4 hours in the middle of the day sometime without a shirt on.
Yeah.
But like between the hours of 8 and 12. But anyways, CrossFit can be anything as simple as, I don't know, doing overhead presses supersetted with push-ups and air squats or something like that. You know, it doesn't have to be, you know, a named WOD or it doesn't have to be, it doesn't have to be Fran. It can be something as simple, anything that's, you know, functional movement that's varied that you're doing with some sort of intensity.
One day, man, one day, we'll crack. We'll crack. We got to get it on camera if we're going to do it.
All right. Yeah. I'll tag Wes.
Yeah. You know, but maybe we'll do it here.
There you go.
We'll come out, yeah. Oh God, I'd be scared. I know. As long as I can take, I'll take you through a pilot. Well, we can kind of powerlifting workouts together.
Yeah, we can do
reps were a little high though. We'll work on that.
All right.
That's not bad for a CrossFit.
Yeah.
CrossFit will go do powerlifting any day.
Yeah.
We're like, cool, awesome. Let's lift some heavy shit. That sounds great.
Love squat. Squat 7 days a week.
Yeah, let's do it.
I mean, we just saw your class coming up now.
What time is it?
I think the members are starting to file in.
Yeah.
Yeah, 8:17.
Yeah.
So we weren't going to monopolize any more of your time.
Yeah,
cool.
Yeah,
we do awesome insight, man. Really appreciate that.
I appreciate you taking this time, talking to us.
Some of the stuff that you, I'm going to take away from, like the art, the selfishness thing, that's like a whole new, I'm going to use that.
Yeah.
Cool.
Like when you're not around, I might take credit for it. That's great. Yeah,
awesome.
We really appreciate your time. How can people find you? Where are we? Where are you online? Where are you located here in Gilroy? People want to get in contact with you. What are the details?
Yeah, best place would be on our website, coastrangecrossfit.com. My email address is on there. Come to Gilroy and work out with us if you'd like to. We'd love to have you. We have a Reebok and a Lulu outlet here. So kind of
more
only
garlic fries.
Yeah, a little bit of a reason to come down. Hey, Bria, what's up? And just come down and hang out with us.
Awesome, man. Thanks very much. Appreciate it.
All right, guys. That was our interview with Wes. I hope you enjoyed it. I know I learned a lot about him.
Yes.
It's a great conversation.
There's a few times where I was like trying not to cry.
Yeah.
Like I've listened to this a few times now and this has been one of our favorites so far.
Yeah.
And then afterwards.
Yeah.
Did, yeah.
Jordan did the hero workout.
That's how good of a guy.
Well, both
he
of
was.
Us did it.
It was like
a first date almost. And then Jordan came in a little bit timid.
Yeah.
And then by the end, he
was
like, Jordan was the one leaning in for a kiss.
Yeah, it was bad. I went 90, West came 10. That was pretty much how it went. But what did we do?
We did the hero workout Yeti. Yeah. What was it? Start off with 25 pull-ups.
Well, it was what you did and what I did were two very different things. It was like, I did 25 pull-ups.
Yeah.
I did 10 ring dip
muscle up transitions
things,
yeah,
and then ran a mile and a half, 10 ring dip muscle up transition things, and 25
pull-ups.
I finished though.
Finished it.
Ran a mile and a fucking half. But we recorded this a few days after that, and I'm still fucking sore. hard and fast rules. I stop running when people stop chasing me, and that was about like 85 pounds ago. So, but yeah, that was a good conversation with Wes.
Yeah.
Had a great time. We appreciate the hospitality. If you guys are in the Gilroy area, it's Coast Range CrossFit.
Yeah, definitely
highly
check
recommended.
It out.
Even if you know that's not your bag and you just want to drop in,
yeah,
Wes and the people there, super, super, super nice. Now, special thanks to our sponsors, Lumberjack Productions. You find them on Facebook, Instagram. Lumberjack. I think he's got a website, lumberjackmusic.com.
Google it.
Yeah, Google it. Lumberjack. Special thanks to Jen.
Yeah, Engine Fitness. Thanks for hooking us up. Guys, use code RXDRadio, enginefitness.com. Save some dough.
Oh, and 5-star rating reviews. We're at 20.
Yes. Yes, we've keep them rolling in. You guys are good.
Solved the mystery of Willie Fisterbottom, and I've seen an ask for the t-shirt. It's not to say fuck Turkish get-ups, but fuck sit-ups.
Yeah. No, sit-ups are shit.
Sit-ups are shit. Is that it? Okay.
Yeah.
So, I mean, once we get like a consensus, or, like a front runner in one of these reviews, so if you want to leave a review.
Just keep commenting crazy sayings that you guys want on shirts, and maybe we'll make
one. Yeah. One is going to resonate. Be like, yeah, that's the one. All right,
and if you guys want Jordan to keep doing CrossFit, keep commenting that.
Okay, no, because I have people hopefully out there that like me and won't do that. But yeah, 5-star rating review on iTunes, share with your friends. Share with people you don't like.
Yeah.
We don't care.
Yeah.
iTunes doesn't discriminate. So, until next time, guys.
All right, thanks for listening.